Welcome to the Sportscast, December 1st, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcasts. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online digital radio. You could listen to us every day. You can also go to our website, the sportscast.net, but our Twitter X is the Sportscast One. Also on Instagram, the Sportscast One. You could also download our app, the Sportscast. You can see all the news, all the podcasts, all the radio streams and things like that. So we're all connected. Last night, Cowboys, they beat a team over 500. Miami could not have done that, but the Cowboys did. And we're going to preview week 13 with my fellow Liberty alum, Carlos McWhorter. Welcome to the first to the Sportscast. Your first time on the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me.
So, Carlos, give us a brief intro of yourself and your background with sports.
Yeah, man. So big sportsman my whole life. Played football through high school and college and a little bit of semi-pro down in Virginia. Grew up in Hampton Roads, Virginia. I'm in Maryland now. But yeah, played football for Liberty University, defensive end from 03 to 06. So right before they started winning the conference championships every year. I left right before that. So yeah.
Yeah, and they're right now they're top 25 in the nation. What's your thoughts over that? How are you seeing it from this perspective?
It's amazing to see, man. Because the first time they were top 25, it was COVID year, so many teams weren't playing. So it was kind of like, we're top 25, but it's COVID. To see that we're kind of legit, you know, consistently top 25 team and undefeated season, first year head coach, is pretty remarkable to see.
We talk a lot about Liberty. We have a few Liberty commentators. You played with Mr. Tyler Turner.
Yeah.
He is a contributor for the Top 25 Rundown every Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. So, Carlos, what was your position at Liberty?
Defensive end. Matter of fact, me and Tyler played the same position.
No way. Yeah, we're going to have you two back on the show.
Yeah, he transferred from, I forgot what JUCO, I think it was NIMI, New Mexico Military. He transferred in and we played 2 years together. And actually, like on road games, no, even home games, me and Tyler used to room together on games. So, yeah.
Wow. So you could definitely handle Tyler if you're going to. If you want in a show together, I guess.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man.
Okay, well,
I ran into him. I went to a game a few weeks ago and saw him. Haven't seen him in a long time, so yeah,
he's actually back in Lynchburg.
Yeah, he told me.
So he's definitely, and he's also on the Liberty Flames broadcast.
Okay, nice.
So, which is really good on camera. The guy's very analytical, knows the sports. He reads the odds and things like that. He's all about Oregon, so don't get him started with Oregon. Okay. Anyways, last night, the Dallas Cowboys had to prove the world on primetime against Seattle, defeating Seattle 41-35. Mm-hmm. It was a close game.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott finished with 299 yards, 3 touchdowns, and CeeDee Lamb, 12 catches, 146 yards. The last play of the game was a pass, 12-yard pass to tight end Jake Ferguson, and that sealed the deal for the Cowboys. Yeah. Carlos, your thoughts over Thursday night football win with the Cowboys?
Yeah, I'm a big time Dallas Cowboys fan, as you know. So I'll try my best not to be too biased here, but I mean, as a fan, I was really excited to see them go out and compete with a strong team, similar to that Philly game. It was a close game, and I think Dallas should have won that one, but they finally sealed the deal against a pretty competitive team. I thought Geno played amazing. Metcalf also was amazing. He was pretty much unstoppable. Our safety kept getting caught in bad positions with that guy, and it's frustrating to see as a fan, but you kind of understand when you're trying to look at all the weapons that he has with Lockett and Metcalf. Our pass rush we couldn't get any sacks, but we did get some good pressure. And I think Geno played amazing under that pressure, getting rid of the ball quick. So that was a little bit frustrating. We couldn't really, get those sacks that we're accustomed to getting throughout the games. But Dak is playing amazing as well. Happy to see him put it together the way he's doing. And I think he's finally getting credit for how good he is. In my opinion, I thought he's always played pretty well. But I think in this new offense, with McCarthy has it, it's he's being kind of protected anyway in a way. I think in the past, Kellen Moore had him taking too many risks. And, you know, he kind of got exposed a little bit. But now pretty much this offense is getting rid of the ball quick. It's not really going for the big play all the time. That's why you see CD. He's getting 10, 11, 12 catches a game. And it's an effective offense. It kind of helps because I think our running game is hurting without Ezekiel Elliott being a bigger kind of power back.
You want him back, don't you?
I do. I do. He's a great, strong back. And you see Dallas is really weak in the short yardage run game. Pollard's fast, but he's just not a power guy. So you see Rico, he's starting to get some carries in those short yardage situations, which makes a lot more sense. But, you know, we still don't have that punch that we need. But I think, again, I think Dak's playing well. I think the weapons are – offensive weapons are doing well. Our tight ends are picking up. You know, at the beginning of the season, we were struggling without Schultz. But Ferguson and Shoemaker, they're playing well now. So it seems like a lot of pieces are kind of coming together in this new offense. So I'm happy about it.
The biggest argument here on the Sportscast, I'm a very respectful with the Cowboys. I like the organization. It's very prestigious to play in that organization, I think. But the biggest critiques we have on this network is that Dak does not play good once the new year hits. Once January, the playoffs, he chokes. That, which is a big word. No one wants to hear. But what's your thoughts? I mean, do you think you have a whole – is the season a little bit different than, like, the previous seasons?
In a little bit. I think, you know, it was similar with Romo. When Romo, he got the criticism what came in November and December football. And I just think with Dallas, man, later in the season, they're typically have been in the playoff hunt. So I think the games in the later the season just are more pressure games. They're more difficult games because I think, like you said, Dallas is prestigious. I think some of these teams that we're playing against, they, you know, pick it up a little bit more because they know they can either spoil our playoff hopes or, you know, make a run for themselves. So I think those games are just more difficult. When you get into December, you're basically, you know, for Dallas, it's their playoff games from December on out for the most part. But I think he's played well. I just think that just because Dallas hasn't sealed the deal, he gets a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. You're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, so you're going to get it. You know what I mean? But I think a lot of the issues were defensively, not so much offensively, for years. And I think, Dan Quinn has finally and our pass rush is finally, you know, helping the offense out the way they should, the way they are, or I'd say more than in the past. I'll say that. So, and in the tough games, I mean, he played well against Philly, but people don't really talk about that. You know, so when they do play well in the tough games, he doesn't really get mentioned. If he plays bad, like the San Fran game, then, you know, he gets hammered. So, I think he's played well this year. I think this year is going to be a little bit different just because the offense takes a lot of pressure off of Dak. He can go out and execute without having to, you know, put the team on his back as he did before, and as Romo had to do so many years. So, I think this year should be different.
You brought up the Philadelphia Eagles. You guys face them on December 10th. I have that date marked, by the way.
Yeah.
huge showdown for NFL East. This time the Eagles are visiting the Cowboys Stadium, so it does help you out a little bit.
A little bit.
Last night's game was a huge win against the Seahawks. I think the Seahawks are a very legitimate team.
Oh, yeah.
What do you expect versus the Eagles in a week? The tush push has not been stopped. I don't know if Dallas has a plan for that yet.
Right.
But what are your expectations with the Eagles? They're hot, but they're also winning ugly too, Carlos.
Yeah, they are. They are. With the tush push, the only way to stop it is to keep them out of short yardage situations. You know what I mean? Like, win the first down, win the second down. Because if not, they're not. When if it's fourth and three, fourth and two, they're getting the first down. It's just impossible to stop right now. And they're talking about outlawing it. And as a pure football fan, I hope they don't. I mean, it is what it is. It's a play. It's legal. Learn how to stop it. That's football. You know what I mean? That's just sports. Why stop it? Just because they're so good at it. Like, no one's getting hurt from it. It's not a dangerous play. It's just a impossible play to stop right now. So I think, as it happens, as teams, you know, study it more, they'll figure out some type of alignment that works, and it is what it is. But right now, I think still think Dallas is going to, you know, go out and compete as it did last time, and I think they can edge them out. The home field advantage should help. The fact that this is, like you said, this is going to be like a playoff game because the Eagles are number one seed in the NFC. They got the Niners this week, so this week and next week is going to pretty much determine, you know, who comes out with that that number one seed. I think Dallas still has a tough schedule coming up with Miami, with Detroit. So we, you know, Dallas still has to play well to get that number one seed. A number two seed is much more likely, looking at how the Eagles are playing, because they're winning ugly. But I remember the Patriots, that's how their dynasty started. When they were winning every game, they were winning every game ugly. And it's, that's a tough team. When you're winning close games like that, it just shows your resilience, in my opinion. I don't really think that's a bad thing when you're consistently winning those tough games. I think that shows that you're just a tough team to beat. But yeah, it's going to be a great game. I'm excited about it. So, of course, I'm pulling for Dallas. I think we can win it, but it wouldn't be surprising. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game.
It's a very winnable game. You got Eagles playing San Francisco, as you mentioned, this weekend. So it does tear a little bit. You guys had a little bit more rest than they do.
Yeah.
I think the variables are lining up.
Yeah. Yeah, it should. I looked at that as well. Like, okay, we got a few days of extra film study, and we'll see. So yeah, hopefully that helps us out. But yeah, I think Dallas can come through.
Do you know that Dak Prescott celebrates Thanksgiving on Black Friday? So he does not go eat after the Thanksgiving game. He waits until the next day.
That makes sense, because they play on that game every year, so it's hard to, you know, you can't focus on family at all. You got to focus on the game, and they play around the 4 o'clock, the 4 p.m. game. So yeah, that makes sense.
But he still gets to eat turkey.
Yeah, if they win,
which they haven't lost in Thanksgiving. Well,
true. It's been I think
was it the Patriots a few years back?
Yeah, it was Carolina. I think it might have been the last loss where Romo was hurt, and he came back too early from that collarbone, and he broke it again. Yeah, that was not a happy holiday for me.
That wasn't. But we're glad that he's in the booth on CBS. I think he does a great job. I think he's gotten one bad prediction or something, but it's okay. For the most part, he's pretty good. Well, there you go. Cowboys are looking good. But we got to do one more thing left in the show. Carlos, are you ready to predict NFL Week 13? A pivotal Week 13. All right, let's get this show on the road. First matchup I'm going to bring up, Indiana at Tennessee. Tennessee will go to minimize the rushing after allowing 193 yards on the ground the last time they met. Tennessee will have defensive tackle Tyre Tart back this time around, which will boost the run defense. The Colts will be without Jonathan Taylor. He's out again, Carlos. But yeah, Zach Moss, he's pretty good. He has rushed 672 rushing yards. Place them 10th in the NFL, so that's a good stat to have for the Colts. Tennessee pride themselves on stopping the run, and will have their hands full against the Colts offense that is 11th in the league with 1,335 yards on the ground. Who do you have the Colts at Tennessee?
I got the Colts winning. I think Gardner Minshew is probably one of the better backups in the NFL. They still have some weapons with Pittman Jr. Receiving the ball. So I got the Colts probably winning it by 2 scores.
Colts win away. I like the Colts too. Tennessee with no Ryan Tannehill. They got the Liberty quarterback there, actually.
Yeah, man. He hasn't been, his career in the NFL hasn't been faring too well. But hopefully he gets another shot. He can take care of business, man.
There you go. Do it while you can. Desmond Ridder versus Tim Boyle isn't exactly a marquee quarterback matchup. Ridder has 18 turnovers, Carlos, in 9 starts, with Boyle, who began the season as the third string, threw 2 interceptions in his first start. The Jets are seeking to avoid their 8th straight game with fewer than 2 touchdowns, which will be the longest streak by any team since the 2011 Rams. The Jets have a good defense. Atlanta's looking pretty good this year. What do you have?
I have the Jets, man. I mean, they're still struggling at quarterback with Zach Wilson, but the Falcons just has so many problems. You have Rashawn Robinson, who I think he's just not being used to his full potential. You have I forgot the man's name, the tight end. What's his
for
name?
Atlanta? Let me look him up. I have the.
I've got his name.
Hold on, one said tight end. I know his name. He's not that one guy that was drafted a few years ago. No, not Calais Campbell. Jonnu Smith? No,
I can't remember his name. He was out of Florida, I believe it was.
What's his hold name? On. Oh, Kyle Pitts.
Pitts. That's it. Kyle Pitts.
He was drafted top 10, I think.
Dude, that guy, he was. He has potential to be the number one. I mean, he's listed as a tight end. He could be the number one receiver in the league right now. The guy is very talented, very athletically gifted. They haven't figured out how to use the weapons that they have. So I got the Jets edging them out this week.
Carlos, are you a Desmond Ridder fan?
No.
Okay. They'll look for a new quarterback, probably. Who knows? It depends how he does this season. Still right. Week 13. The Saints could be down their top three receivers. Michael Thomas, he's been out for a bit. Rashid Shaheed. Chris Olave, he's in my fantasy team. That's bad news for an offense that's failed to score a touchdown against Atlanta last week. The Saints have struggled in the red zone, which will make it difficult to go score for score against the Lions offense that ranks second in yards per game. Detroit's looking hot. They did not do well a week ago versus Green Bay. They took the L. What's going to happen in New Orleans?
Lions are going to dominate, man. I just think that a team as good as they are right now, when they come off a bad loss like that, I think they just pretty much show up with a vengeance. The Saints don't have anything to stop them, and the Saints don't really have weapons to compete with what Detroit has. I just think that Detroit should win this game probably like 28-7.
I concur. Any game that's with Houston, I always say it's a game of the week. But this game is going to be the real deal. Denver versus Houston. From week 9 through 12, the Broncos have held opposing quarterbacks to a QBR of 31.9, fourth lowest, and are keeping opposing offenses to 18 points per game. But the Texan C.J. Stroud, Carlos, has a QBR of 68.3, fifth best during that same span. This matchup will be the collision of one strength with another. Broncos are in a five-game winning streak. Houston did not do well against Jacksonville last week, but they're staying in Houston. They might have a revenge game, but Denver's looking hot. Sean Payton has turned the boat a little bit in Denver. I think he has. What's going to happen in Houston, Carlos?
That's a toss-up to me, man. I think it's going to be a close game. You're right. Denver has turned it around. They're playing well on both sides of the ball. Houston, I think Houston has something special, man. They have a lot of weapons. C.J. Stroud looks to be like a very special, generational talent quarterback. I read an article recently on how the Raiders wanted him, but McDaniels was so gung-ho about Garoppolo. So it's pretty much why he got fired, I guess. I'm gonna go Houston just because I think they just have more weapons on offense than Denver is going to be able to compete with. So I'm going to go with Houston. Close game, though. I think probably like 21-20, 24-21, something like that.
It'll be a field goal like last week, because I think Denver missed that field goal against Jackson.
Yeah.
It's interesting. A lot of field goal wins and also losses this season. Tank Dell also having a fantastic season. I think the Broncos are going to win that game.
You think the Broncos? Okay.
I think the Broncos are going to figure out how to win it. I think Russell Wilson looks different. He looks special. Yeah. Jerry Jeudy, that connection is starting to boil a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Sean Payton, I think he's turned the boat around. We'll see.
Yeah.
The playoff chances are pretty high. All right. Bailey Zappe, who was cut by the Patriots, is now starting quarterback again for the Patriots, replacing Mac Jones. No more Mac Jones, who has been pulled from four games. Zappe said he hopes to follow a similar formula to last season when he started two games that team won, and he was able to limit turnovers. The Chargers have a +3 turnover differential this season. Here in the Sportscast, we're not a fan of the Chargers coach, Brandon Staley. I'm not sure if Carlos is, but what's going to happen in New England in Gillette Stadium, Carlos?
I think Chargers are going to win it pretty easy. I just think they have talent. I think, you know, Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, great combination. I just don't see and also Eckler running the ball. I just don't see the Patriots. They're just in a total rebuilding state right now. They can't figure out the quarterback. It's very unusual, and we haven't seen this with Belichick in a very long time in our generation. But yeah, I just think the Chargers are going to win and edge it out. Or not even edge. I think the Chargers are going to dominate that game.
And there's also rumors of Belichick joining the Chargers next season.
Yeah, I think everybody who's struggling wants Belichick, because Washington, they're saying they want him. Carolina is saying they want him. I think it's just everybody with the coach that's going to be fired, everybody is hoping that Belichick gets fired so they can hire him. So that's
what it's like. Let's wait till Belichick turns in his resume on LinkedIn first.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go to Pittsburgh. After firing offensive coordinator Matt Canada, the Steelers have gained more than 400 yards. It makes a difference when you fire a offensive coordinator. For the first time in 58 regular season, 58, Carlos, but the yards didn't translate into explosion of points. That could change this week. The Cardinals defense is second to last in the NFL in points allowed. It's a good sign for the Steelers, giving up an average of 26.8 points per game. Arizona's rushing defense is also one of the worst in the league, giving up an average of 174 yards on the ground in his past three games. I think this is an easy pick after I read all that stats about Arizona.
Yeah, who's starting quarterback for Arizona? Is Murray back?
Yeah, Kyler Murray's back. His third start this weekend.
Okay, and they just
change your mind?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't, because this is his first start. Their tight end situation is still struggling. They got rid of Zach Ertz, which I'm hoping, hey, Dallas, go pick him up. We need a tight end. So Zach Ertz.
You like Ferguson?
I like him, but he's not Ertz. You know what I mean? He's
not Kelsey. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, we had Schultz last year, so he's just not top tier. He's serviceable, but not that they necessarily need him.
Requested to be cut?
No, I think they agreed to part ways. I think I think with how much he's getting paid and versus his production, I think they just want to move in another direction. But Steelers. I think it's Steelers and. Mike Tomlin went to Denby High School. That's a high school I went to in Newport News. So I typically will root for Tomlin over, as long as he's not playing against Dallas. I just think the run game's too powerful. We got Pickett. You got Najee Harris. Pickett's at receiver. I just don't see the Cardinals being able to do anything. They're struggling this year. I think they'll continue to struggle. I got the Steelers winning pretty easy.
I do too. Steelers definitely looks a little bit fresher since Bank Canada's firing, which is interesting. I think most Steelers fans were kind of excited, kind of happy about it.
Yeah,
quietly. They were quietly happy. They don't like to, they're very respectful. They have class. I understand. All right. My team, Miami, we'll see what Carlos says when they visit Washington Commanders. I think they fixed the whole hot water situation, cold water, showers. Washington coach Ron Rivera will take over as defensive play caller after they got rid of Jack Del Rio. It'll be Rivera's first time calling defensive signals since 2018 when he was coach of the Panthers. It won't be easy Sunday. Miami leads the NFL with 42 offensive touchdowns, while the Commanders was allowed the second most with 35. Also, Miami second with 57 plays with 20 yards or more. And Washington has allowed the most with 59. What's going to happen in Washington? You're nearby. So what's the buzz saying over there?
Well, I don't really care what the buzz is saying, these Washington fans, but I will say this. I think Miami's going to win. Rivera calling the plays, he's a defensive guy, so I don't think it's going to be foreign to him. It's just that they just don't have many – they got rid of some weapons on defense. They got rid of Chase Young and another defensive lineman. They don't really have a pass rush. And, they fired the defensive coordinator, but Rivera said, I agree with what we're doing schematically. So it doesn't seem like he's going to call different plays. He's just, I guess, using him as a scapegoat. I don't know. I think Ron Rivera is going to be fired at the end of the season anyway. The Dolphins just too powerful, man. Mustard Hill, they got Tua at quarterback. I just think, Sam Howell, I'm going to give the enemy his credit. Even as bad as they've been playing, as many sacks as they've been playing, he's still leading the league in passing yards, which I think is pretty impressive. And I don't really think he's a super talented guy. So for them to do that, I'm going to give Bienemy his credit for the scheme that they're running on the offense. But I still think Miami's just going to win pretty easy this week.
I concur. Miami has to win the games they have to win. And that's Washington Commanders. Anyway, and did you know the Commanders old night? The old owner used to charge their employees coffee.
No, I didn't know that.
Dan Snyder. So I've been hearing stories. Anyways, let's go to Tampa. It's a little warmer. 4-7 having dropped 6 out of the last 7 games. The Bucs are miraculously just one game out of first place in NFC South, while the 1-10 Panthers are hoping a coaching change can galvanize the team. They got rid of the coach this past week. Bucs quarterback Baker Mayfield, who spent 7 games with the Panthers last season, certainly expects it. Having that in spot before everyone rallies around it, honestly, is one of the things that brings people together, says Mayfield, who is expected to play despite leaving last games briefly with an ankle injury. Carolina at Tampa, is it going to be an easy win, or Carolina with new coach will have a new coach bump?
Yeah, when you have a coaching change and you have some, something to work with. A lot of times players can be inspired, especially if they have a better relationship with whoever the interim coach is. I just don't see Carolina being in that situation. I think they're struggling. They fired a guy after having him here for not even the whole season. He didn't even be able to coach a whole season. So I just think they're just confused on what they want to do. I don't understand why you hire a guy to be your head coach and you don't give him at least one season. It's not like you have an all-star roster. Give him a chance to figure something out. But yeah, I don't see the Panthers being able to do anything. And as opposed to the Bucks, like you said, they're one game out of first place, so they're going to play inspired. I think Mike, you can't stop Mike Evans. That guy is putting up crazy numbers. He doesn't really get talked about, but he's having like one of the best careers in NFL history as a receiver. I love the guy. I think he's great. Baker Mayfield, not a big fan, but again, he'll have a good week just because they're playing against the Panthers. So yeah, I got the Bucks winning pretty easy.
And I think Mike Evans is still trying to get a new contract with Tampa.
So yeah, I don't understand why he's trying to. It should be signed again.
Yeah, man. Again, sign the dot. Here's the blank check. Yeah, Frank Reich, who got fired, he's actually going to retire, he says.
Okay.
So he's not going to coach more football. He's 71 years old. I don't blame him. Yeah. Hey, you know, enjoy all those millions of dollars you make.
Exactly.
Let's go the game of the weekend. I mean, I don't think it is. I think it's more Denver or Houston, but it might be more for Carlos, San Francisco at the Eagles, NFC Championship game rematch. But the difference is I think Purdy will be healthy. He got out of the game early with an elbow injury. Mm-hmm. So San Francisco did not have a shot to win that game. This is going to be a potential showdown. Obviously, you think the Cowboys might make it all the way, but Purdy has completed over 70% of his passes this season and has a league QBR at 75.6. The Eagles are 29th versus the pass and have yielded second most passing touchdowns in the NFL. This is the showdown. This might determine, sorry to say, could determine who's the best team in the NFL, in my opinion. Carlos, what's going to happen at the Eagles game?
It's going to be tough, man. I think it's going to be a close game. It's really hard for me to call this one. Just because you don't, you know, the Niners are 8-3, but I think they're every bit just as good as the Eagles, who are at 10-1. I think I'm not going to be a hater. I think the Eagles are going to win this one. I don't think it's going to be easy. Like I said, they give up a lot of yards in the passing game, but they figure it out. And I just think Jalen Hurts is a pretty, you know, pretty tough quarterback to stop because he can run it just as well as he can pass it. He's a great decision maker. So I think the Eagles are going to win it probably just by one score.
One score as a close game. I'm going to keep an eye on this. I'm actually traveling during that game, so I'll probably get the notifications once I land in Miami. So I'm looking forward to this game. Yeah. Like I said, I think these are the two best teams in the NFL. People might argue it might be Dallas, but I do think this could determine a lot. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I'm kind of hoping – like, I'm a Dallas fan, but I'm kind of hoping the Eagles will win, because if the Eagles win, that makes it easier for Dallas to get that number two seed. If the Eagles lose, even with the loss, it's still going to be tough for Dallas to get that number one seed. So it's like it might be better to shoot for number two right now and get into the playoffs as a two seed. But yeah, it should be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Logistics. Look at logistics. All right, let's go to SoFi. Nice weather. Rams quarterback Matt Stafford is coming off a game where he threw a season high 4 passing touchdowns. He's still good, which was as many as he had in his previous 4 games combined. The Browns, without Deshaun, have allowed just 10 passing touchdowns this season, which is tied with the Ravens for the fewest in the NFL. So Stafford and the Rams face a significant challenge. What's going to happen in SoFi, Carlos McWhorter?
I got the Browns winning this one, man. The Browns.
No way.
The Browns are good. Even with their backup, the Browns are playing good football, man. Defensively, they have it together. I got the Browns, man. I think I'd never really root for the Browns or pick them, but I think they're going to go in and take care of business at the Rams. Like I said, defensively, they have it figured out. They do have a backup quarterback, but the backup quarterback, is it Robinson? I forgot his name.
Yeah, Robinson. Joe Flacco might play, by the way.
Oh, okay. That changes things.
Yeah, he might play,
Flacco was coming out. It was like, hasn't been on the roster all year, I don't think. So, yeah, he tried out
2 weeks ago. He was with no team. Yeah. He tried out 2 weeks for the practice squad. Now, and he's now in the active squad.
Right. So that can get tricky because he is Flacco. He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He has experience. And for the Rams, they don't have film on Flacco in this system. So that could be somewhat of an advantage. You don't know what the offensive coordinator is going to call, and you don't know what his tendencies or favorite go-tos are going to be in this offense. So that could be to their advantage. So, but I still have the Browns. I'm just not convinced with the Rams. But, I didn't know Flacco might be starting. That might change.
It might be him or P.J. Walker. Amari Brown's been making Amari Cooper's been making noise. He wants Flacco to start. So
I wish that's one guy I wish never left Dallas, man. I love that guy.
Yeah, but wasn't he kind of dwindling towards the end?
No, he was. They added CeeDee Lamb, so some of the passes went to Lamb, so his numbers came down because of that. But he was still great and excellent. He's the best pass route runner in the league, I believe. I mean, he would create so much space, and it was so easy for Dak. But
I never wanted to go to Dallas. I remember when he was with the Raiders, I heard like he wanted to go to Dallas, play for Dak and that organization. But, you know, hey, you got to perform at the highest level, Carlos.
So, anyways, I got the Browns beating the Rams this week.
Sunday Night Football. The Packers are undefeated in December, FYI, since Matt LaFleur took over as coach in 2019. But they haven't played the Chiefs in the December before. Jordan Love's first NFL start came at Kansas City in a 13-7 loss in November of 2021. Meanwhile, this will be Patrick Mahomes' first ever appearance at Lambeau Field. What's going to happen in Green Bay, Carlos?
The Chiefs, they dropped the egg last week. They lost last week to the Philly. That's what it was. Yeah.
That was a good game too.
Yeah, it was a good game. I just think they come back. You know, it wasn't a bad game that they played, but I just think they come back on firing all cylinders. I mean, they're still the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best, if not the best, in the league. They have a running game that's doing well. Of course, you got Kelce and Taylor Swift.
She's still in South America. I think. I don't think she's back.
Really? I saw something that said she moved in with them for her tour stop or something like that. I don't know.
Hey, you know, she couldn't find cheap rent, so.
Right. Yeah, man. I just think the Packers, they're okay. They're not great. They're still figuring out with their quarterback. But yeah,
they beat Detroit last week.
You said what?
But they beat Detroit last week.
They did. Yeah. I think Detroit played horrible though. I don't think it was because the Packers came in and handled business, so to speak. I just think that Detroit had a bad game. From what I've seen, they just all the turnovers. I think was it Goff fumbled like three times,
four times.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, I think they did well getting to the quarterback and forced some turnovers, but I don't think that was just, a normal performance. They're not going to get the Patrick Mahomes like that. He's going to be they block well. Patrick Mahomes is going to get rid of the ball. He doesn't play when he plays bad. He doesn't play that bad. So I think the Chiefs are going to take care of business.
Well, Chiefs takes care of Green Bay. First win for Patrick Mahomes in Green Bay. I never knew about that stat. It feels like he's been in the season for the NFL for maybe under 10 years, but not playing Green Bay. Anyways, there's a first for everything, right? Yeah. Just like Carlos coming on the Sportscast. So there you have it. Week 13, we previewed it. A lot of good games. There's two games that really stood out to me, of course, San Francisco at the Eagles. And of course, the Broncos at the Texans. I'm going to still stick with Denver at Houston as the best game of the weekend. Carlos, what's your vote?
Denver and Houston? That's a tough one. I'm gonna go Houston.
There you have it.
Like you said, Sean Payton's doing well with Russell Wilson, but yeah, I think Houston CJ Stroud is going to continue fine. He's like number two in passing this year, or number three, I believe.
Somewhere in the top three.
Yeah, he's for a rookie, and he does have some weapons. But with the new coach, and then you have a defensive minded head coach on top of that. So yeah, I think Houston has something special going on.
And you watch college football a lot, right?
Oh yes, definitely.
Who do you have for Pac-12 championship tonight? Oregon versus Washington in Las Vegas.
I think Oregon. I mean, Washington is good, but I mean Oregon is just. I think they've been more dominant in Washington. There's a few games in the conference that they probably could have lost. I think they're probably more fortunate to be in that position than Oregon is, who's been pretty dominant. So yeah, I got Oregon.
There you have it. Pac-12 championship game tonight. Tyler will be pulling for Oregon, and I believe Oregon wins. They might spoil the playoff situation there. So we'll see.
Yeah.
How that crumbles. Also Alabama versus Georgia. Who do you have for that?
Georgia.
Yeah, I think Georgia has this. I'm
not a Bama hater, but I am a bit tired of Saban. He's been, Dabo have been so dominant over the past like 10 years. I think Georgia's going to take care of business.
It's overwhelming. It's definitely up there in the Patriots level. Anyways, there you have it. College football, NFL this weekend, a lot going on. Championship week for college. Random question of the day, Carlos. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite pie? Options on the Twitter is apple pie, pumpkin, pecan, or key lime pie.
Out of those is definitely Apple.
All right. Apple is winning 38%. Second place, pecan at 31. Then key lime at 16. And pumpkin at 15%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Key lime is more of a Florida thing. I don't know if you have it up there much.
You know what? My wife loves it, and I've eaten it more because of her. So then I do love key lime pie, but apple's my all-time favorite. So.
Apple is pretty good. With ice cream or whipped cream?
Typically ice cream.
I do it. Nice melty vanilla bean from that one place from Texas. Anyways, Carlos, you can vote on our Twitter X your favorite pie because today is National Pie Day. So I don't know if there's discounts in your supermarket, but always check X the grocery clerk. Carlos, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Cowboys?
You hit me on Instagram, TheMac52, or Twitter, DonCarlos52.
There you have it. You can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on Twitter and X. We break the news. We had a few late-breaking news yesterday. Oh, yeah, the Von Miller thing. That's tough to report, but.
Yeah, I didn't hear the details. I saw that there was a warrant, but I didn't see the details.
I don't know if you reported in, but hopefully things get situated and everything else. But, Carlos, man, you did a great job today. You're for sure coming back. I mean, you're coming. We definitely have more shows, so we'll definitely have you. We'll probably spread you around a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Now there's one show called the Jersey Boys Sports Talks. They're all Giant fans.
Okay.
I don't know. That's like entering like enemy's lines, but if you're
the Giants record, that'd be more fun for me. That'd be like going to a playground right now. I don't think they want me on their show.
Perfect. We have trouble getting Cowboy fans on that show for some reason.
Okay.
We get Eagle fans in there, but Cowboys, I'm not sure what it is. They're scared of the Giants. I don't know.
I'm ready for that one.
Well, there you have it. You can definitely catch our shows next week. College sports this weekend is going to – college football is going to conclude kind of coming towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Top 25 Rundown next Wednesday at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, the Jersey Boys Sports Talk on Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. So looking forward to probably one of my favorite parts of the season, December, January, where things are kind of coming together, playoffs with pro and college. Anyways, Carlos, I appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
And this was your update.